My fantasy football draft is just a couple of days away. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm picking in right slab in the middle of the first round in a snake draft. And boy, is that going to be a tough call. Do I go running back, wide receiver? Who's still going to be there? Ugh, decisions, decisions. So bringing on a couple of the best in the biz tonight. Fantasy blowout special here on Chris Thomas Tonight, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in Chad Parsons, host of the Under the Helmet Fantasy Podcast. Chad, let's start here. In our own backyard in Atlanta, is Bijan Robinson the best available player this year?
I think so. Think about the upside that's being unlocked on this offense with Michael Penix, a more functional passing game. And you look at where is the ball going to go. If Kyle Pitts is not healthy, he hasn't been in quite some time. So it's a leap of faith to say he will this year. And Bijan Robinson, such a workhorse and such a two-way player that you figure if you're not going Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson is definitely the way to go.
Would you even consider, you know, at the back end of the draft, taking a flyer on the potential of a guy like Kyle Pitts?
Oh, absolutely. I think the risk-reward is there. At tight end, it's all about the ceiling. It's all about the highest potential of the player. If you get tight end 7, 8, 9 as your result, it doesn't really matter much. You need a McBride season, a Brock Bowers season, a George Kittle season from last year. That's what you're shooting for, and we saw that from a rookie season, Kyle Pitts. And all reports are things are going well for him, so he has the best chance over the last 2 or 3 years to get back to that level.
All right, let's whip around the league here. How much of a believer are you in Caleb Williams? Do you think he can lead some of those targeted weapons that they have in Chicago to big seasons?
Pretty concerning. I am not a big fan of Caleb Williams when he was coming out. I didn't think he was the best quarterback or even one of the top two guys of that draft class. Jaden Daniels and Drake May were higher for me. And one of my bold calls this year is he's not going to be a 4,000-yard passer and break the curse there for the Bears. So the Ben Johnson love. He's been struggling generally in camp, and I need to believe it to see it, because Jared Goff is the exact opposite type of quarterback. Get the ball out, be part of the system. I always say be John Stockton to the Carl Malone, distribute the ball on time into the weapons. Caleb Williams kind of wants to be a star. He kind of wants to extend the plays, create some of those circus moments, and that is not what this offense is designed to be, and there's weapons everywhere, but I still think everyone's overrating the Bears.
Sticking in that division, Jordan Love obviously got some help in the first round. What do you think about his chances at quarterback and the weapons in Green Bay?
Yeah, I love Jordan Love. I think that last year, even when he played, he was hampered by injury. And I think that goes lost when a lot of players, they're playing and they're way less than 100%. And it wasn't so much Jordan Love scrambling. It was him extending plays because he loves to go for the deep ball. Now you have a 4-3 wide receiver in the first round. You've got Jordan Love more mobile than before. They were very run heavy last year. So I think you tweak that dial a little bit more towards the pass. You have Jordan Love being able to extend plays and throw deep balls a lot more often. And all of a sudden, you know, he's one of my favorites because he was one of the, not in fantasy, the NFL top quarterbacks to close 2023. And obviously people are down on him now because he had a down year here in 2024, mostly due to A, missed games, and B, being limited when he was playing.
I throw my hands up. I'm the first to admit I was dead wrong on Bo Nix. I thought he was the typical really good college quarterback that just didn't have what it takes to be good in the NFL. Do you buy him from a fantasy perspective this season?
I think the one thing I'm skeptical of is the market has come up to where you're having to draft him in the top 10 quarterbacks. And I think in a draft, you know, once the first 5, 6, 7 go off the board, I think you get to Burrow, you get to Mahomes, you know, they're probably going to be quarterback 5, 6, 7, somewhere in that range. I think you can wait. So the biggest part for me is price. Like, you can wait, get Brock Purdy, wait, get Dak Prescott, Drake May, Jordan Love. I mean, you have so many options when instead of going with quarterback 9 or 10, where, again, most of your league mates already have a guy, I just prefer by that moment in your draft to wait a few more rounds and get other players filling out your lineup. So it's mostly cost. It's not that I'm concerned. Dual threat. You got Sean Payton pulling the puppet strings there and optimizing Bo Nix. So I love the rushing profile. I love that the weapons are getting slightly better with Evan Ingram joining the fray this year.
Would you take, if you had the opportunity, Lamar or Josh Allen?
I think you got to go Lamar Jackson. I mean, there was so much that went wrong last year, and you're talking about a guy that has 40-plus touchdowns and 4 interceptions. I thought he was the easy MVP. He didn't get it. I think both guys have kind of a chip on their shoulder for varying reasons, but Lamar Jackson, you know, is still one of those frightening players. It's close, and I think it's funny because, you know, expert leagues, quote unquote, you know, a lot of times these quarterbacks will last around 3-4 because everyone plays quarterback chicken. I think in your traditional leagues, these guys will be gone probably in the first two and a half rounds, and that's more appropriate with the values they add rushing and receiving, rushing and passing.
Either, neither, or both, Kelce and Mahomes have bounce back seasons.
Oh, I'm going to go with both. Big on Mahomes. I think the big plays are going to be back. Actually, news just came out today that we have Rashee Rice probably going to be in the lineup for you and for fantasy drafters in the first 3-4 weeks. We'll see if that suspension comes, but they're not going to get legal proceedings until the end of September here. So that's a real twist to the timetable. We're going to get full on Mahomes, Rice, Kelce, Worthy, all those great weapons to start the season. So I think people are sleeping on Kelce as well.
Talking with Chad Parsons, make sure you check out Under the Helmet for all of your fantasy football needs. Are you into any setback here for Justin Jefferson or Jordan Addison, who I know is facing the suspension, but with J.J. McCarthy at the helm?
I think a little bit. You know, I think this is a team where they brought in Jordan Mason. They kind of told you what they think, which is we need two backs. Part of that's an Aaron Jones thing. They don't want to make him a workhorse, but they have two functional backs, and just they have a young quarterback where – we can say that Sam Darnold was new, but he's been an NFL veteran for quite some time, and they were really able to unleash it. I think it's going to be a lot more play action. I just don't think it's going to be as pass heavy. And so, yeah, I think Jefferson, when you're picking hairs between, say, Ja'Marr Chase, I even like CeeDee Lamb a little bit more this year. Malik Nabers got so much volume last year. There is a real challenge at the top of the wide receiver board. So I think you have to be careful there. And with Addison, he's the number two guy on his team. I always say be skeptical of that number two role outside of the very apex of passing games in the NFL. And you're dealing with a guy that's going to be suspended to start the year. So you put those things together, and Addison, I'm not going to say do not draft, but you got to really get a good deal on him.
What are we doing with Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts, you know, what's funny is all the talk is about Tanner McKee with his great preseason game this past week. But with Jalen Hurts, hey, if the tush push is there, A.J. Brown's there, Devonta Smith is there, the weapons are there, life is good. And I would just say this, that Saquon Barkley, I'm skeptical because he had almost 500 touches last year. He played through early February. That is usually a harbinger of not good things, either an injury, just not having fresh legs and all that the next year for someone like Saquon Barkley. So I would be even more bullish on Jalen Hurts if Barkley were to miss time, because even more focus on Jalen Hurts in the run game, even more possible, you know, inside the 5-yard line rushing attempts and a few more passing touchdowns. So yeah, Hurts there, QB 4 or 5 off the board. I think that's a no-brainer if you miss on Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen.
Who do you trust more if you need a second quarterback, Geno Smith or Sam Darnold in their new homes?
Definitely Geno Smith. One of my bold calls for this year is Geno Smith. 30-plus passing touchdowns. I think with Brock Bowers, Jacoby Myers is underrated, and Deontay Thornton, he's going to get a lot of love here. Guy that's a 4-3 guy, fourth-rounder, but it looks like he's going to be a starter with that team. And Geno Smith has always been underrated. He already has a 30-plus touchdown season. He's going super cheap. And when you talk about guys like Stafford or Tua Tagovailoa, even Michael Penix, but basically non-mobile quarterbacks in the quarterback 20-plus range of cost, Geno Smith is my favorite.
Are you a believer in the Kyler Murray to Maserati Marv connection in year two?
Man, Kyler Murray scares me. I'll just be honest. Like Marvin Harrison Jr., he had a lot of opportunities last year, and there were overthrows, missed times, all of that. So I don't question the Harrison part of this. I will say the fantasy equation for both Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison Jr., it's complicated because it means the quarterback needs to be really good, and I'm just skeptical of Kyler Murray. So he might torpedo the whole thing, and that's where my pause button comes in.
Do you have any bust fear potential for Jaden Daniels in year two?
Not so much. I mean, I think he did a lot with a little last year. He's super mobile. He's one of the few guys that can challenge the absolute top of the position for rushing production, and that really pays a lot of bills. They didn't really do a lot in the, you know, to upgrade on Brian Robinson or anything. So I think that Jaden Daniels, while I would rather go with a profile that's done it more like a Hurts or an Allen or a Jackson, even Mahomes, you can only drop him so far. So I think, like, even if he is a quote-unquote disappointment, he's still going to finish in the top 8 to 10 of the position due to the rushing.
A guy who was a fantasy darling a couple of years ago but keeps getting injured is Breece Hall in New York. With Justin Fields there, you figure they're going to be running a lot. Could he be worth looking at a bounce-back year for?
Good news is you don't have to draft him as your running back one. I think that he goes after the top 10 to 12 guys. So the cost is fine. He's got the receiving upside. The one concerning thing I'll mention, and this will be something to note why the preseason actually matters a little bit, is they played Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis, both impressive running backs last year as rookies. They played them both a decent amount with the first team. So if Breece Hall isn't a workhorse back, if he isn't a high market share of the backfield guy, that's really concerning because I like guys in a similar range, like James Cook just got a new contract. You got Kenneth Walker, who I really like, Alvin Kamara, James Conner. So there's a bunch of options in that range. And so part of me is just I don't think you have to take the risk of Breece Hall unless he falls to running back 15 to 20.
When you look at the state of the Pittsburgh Steelers, do you think DK Metcalf is enough to make Aaron Rodgers a viable offense to choose from in fantasy?
It's tough. It's tough. The one big call I have with the Steelers is that Jaylen Warren is going to be the play. I think about Aaron Rodgers. I think, who's he going to trust? And I don't think it's going to be a rookie Caleb Johnson in the backfield. And so I think Jaylen Warren is going far too cheap among the running backs. It's outside the top 30, which basically means they don't even really view him as a starting running back in fantasy terms, which I think is a mistake. But yeah, DK Metcalf, I mean, he's going to finish in the top 24 almost by attrition. They don't really have much in wide receiver two, wide receiver three. So they have two or three tight ends. But yeah, DK Metcalf, I think, is going to enjoy some of the best, you know, back shoulder throws and deep targets that he's had in quite some time.
A guy we're keeping our eye on here in Atlanta, a hometown kid, played for UGA, Ladd McConkey with the Chargers. He came in last season and torched the Falcons. Is he primed for a breakout year?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say he broke out last year. I think there's even more upside, you know, and that you look at what he was able to do. Mostly it's the durability part because he was absolutely peppered. He was basically a better case of Khalil Shakir there in Buffalo, similar type player, but you saw much more upside from McConkey. So those guys that produce at that level with that efficiency on a per-route basis as rookies, and especially impressive, is it's not like he was a top 5 or 10 pick in the draft. So he did this when the NFL generally said, you're not really worth a first-round pick, goes early second, and those guys typically, again, are lock and load. Like, the floor is so high, and top five is on the table, you know, for those types of profiles in a year or two.
Does the quarterback situation in Indy sink the value of Jonathan Taylor?
I'm really concerned, and the main part is I just don't think he's going to get a lot of receiving game work. Unfortunately, they have Tyler Goodson, who they use a good amount in that capacity, and so the ancillary running back, they take Jonathan Taylor off the field, and then you have two quarterbacks and a system that is not generally focused on running backs in the passing game. Anthony Richardson has actually been one of the lowest in terms of running back percent targets, you know, in terms of their overall passing volume. So very concerning there. And we just, you know, this could be a dead man walking coach situation. This could be a team, you know, drawing dead essentially by midseason. So it's pretty concerning from a floor standpoint, even though Taylor's one of my favorite running backs to watch. It's just not a great situation.
Before I let you go, would you touch anybody on Miami's offense?
I think you have to. I think you have to touch Tyreek Hill with the price he's going at. I mean, again, you can get him as your wide receiver too. And I think that kind of upside, the one risk here, and it might not be a risk, and actually might end up being good news, is Miami might be in the tank by midseason. And if things go wrong and we see tea leaves that it could be going that way, is he someone that he should be on the block? He should be going to a contender. You say, does he walk into a wide receiver one situation, or is it ambiguous? So that's my one concern if Miami is actually a poor team and they end up selling off pieces. But I think both Jaylen Waddle outside the top 30, and then you've got Tyreek Hill, you can probably get him as your wide receiver too. I think they're both appropriately priced. And Devon Achane, I would just mention, the guy's a workhorse despite being subsized. He sees so many targets. Miami doesn't even have to be good, and we saw that last year, for him to be an elite fantasy option, which he's actually, I think you were talking about the mid-first or later first draft position. He's a really good one if you end up missing out and you don't want to take a shot, say, on Christian McCaffrey or someone like that. Devon Achane, and maybe even wrapping around to round two, is one of my favorite running back picks.
Chad, great stuff. Appreciate it. We'll check you out under the helmet, and we'll be listening. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Go Falcons.
All right. That is Chad Parsons there. Hit him up at Chad Parsons NFL. A little Go Falcons there at the end. That's a way to butter me up if you want to come on and be a recurring guest on the show. All right, Chad. Good job. All right. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Oren, I put up a question on Twitter. Got a lot of feedback. I'll tell you what it is next, and we'll respond. I'll read through some of these comments as we wrap up shop here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Chris Thomas tonight.